It's Saturday morning. You're listening to High School Sports Saturday right here on 104.5 The Zone. Cold Saturday morning out there today. Get out there and get the car started a little early. When you're heading out, it was, I think, 16 degrees when I got in the truck this morning. So get out there and get it warmed up. Give yourself a little extra time. Safe travels wherever you're going today. A lot going on today. The Titans, 3:30 kickoff against the Bengals. What an exciting day that's going to be. I know there's some basketball tournaments going on as well. So appreciate you being with us. Safe travels to and from wherever you're going, hopefully with the coach the next 2 hours after that as well. Something out there you think we need to know about, 615-737-1045. If you're on Twitter, give us a follow. That way you'll know each and every Saturday morning ahead of time who the guests are going to be. That's at Tate Matthews on Twitter. Lineup, the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. And then we're going to get into our guest, Coach Corey Stewart. Ezell Harding football will join us. Very exciting announcement came out of there this week. Coach Stewart's the new head football coach there. They're going to go back to 11-man football. And I think that's great. A lot of tradition in the Ezell Harding football program. So excited to talk to him about what his and the school's vision is for that. And then we're going to talk a little basketball. Mark Wilkins, Independence Eagles boys basketball, will be joining us. A couple of nice wins this week. They are playing really, really well off Declaration Way in South Williamson County. And then, as always, we'll finish up with our weekly visit with our good friend Tom Kreger of the Tennessean. All right, the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. Headed downtown for the Titans, headed downtown for the Preds. Doesn't matter, any of the games. Not sure where to go? Get to the corner of 3rd and DeMumbry. You'll see the six-story right there on the corner, six-story building right there on the corner, and you'll know you're in the right place. You walk in. First floor looks like an old school diner. They got the black and white checkerboard tile, the soda shop style bar with the stunning pastry case, breakfast, coffee, espresso, lattes, or just a good old cup of coffee, muffins, cheesecake, lemon squares. Want something a little heavier? Go with the California breakfast sandwich. Second floor, sports bar themed space. Double-sided wall of TVs hang over the bar. If the game's on, Titans, it's on. Many of those TVs, great menu on that floor. Fourth and fifth, the stunning fine dining spaces. Want to be served by a waiter or a waitress? These are the floors for you. The menu has traditional favorites, but some local flavor as well. Sixth floor, seafood floor. Oysters, sushi. Best lineup of oysters anywhere downtown. Best oysters, Rockefeller, anywhere downtown. A little cold right now, so obviously the windows won't be down. But best view anywhere downtown. Also, looking to have a private event, you can go to their website, thediner.com, click on the private party tab along the right side of the screen, and it'll take you to the right place to have a conversation with them. All right. Large school top 10 boys rankings. We'll start with the boys, and then we'll get to the girls. Not a whole lot of change there, and many of them still playing very, very well. Number one, Brentwood Academy stays at the number one spot. Big win last night over CPA last night. They are really fun to watch if you have not seen the Eagles play yet. Number one, Brentwood Academy. Number two, Beach, still undefeated. Number three, Cane Ridge. Number four, Innsworth. Number five, Lebanon. Number six, Green Hill. Number seven, Clarksville. Eight, Columbia. Nine, Christ Presbyterian Academy. And 10, Greenbrier. That's the top 10 large school boys rankings. On the girls' side, number one, Innsworth keeps the number one spot. Number two, still with Blackman, the Lady Blades. Number three, Cookeville. Number four, Page. Number five, Livingston Academy. Number six, Rossview. Number seven, Coffee County. Eight, Lebanon. Nine, White County. And 10, Upperman. Those are your two top tens for the large school rankings for this week, entering this week. Top performances from this past week on the boys' side, Dominic Reed, or a few of the top performances from the past week. On the boys' side, Dominic Reed, 22 points and a 57-55 victory over Hillsboro. J.J. Wheat, Clarksville, 32 points and a 51-44 victory over Springfield. Grant Strong, Clay County, continues to put up huge numbers, 36 points, 9 rebounds in a 76-40 Clark Range win. And then Yaron Alexander of Lebanon, 29 points in a 76-38 Mount Juliet win. Those were all last night. Thursday night, Taylor Groves of East Robertson had 29 points in a 73-53 victory over White House. On the girls' side, Natalie Prestigard, Ravenwood, had 23 points, 7 of those threes in a 59-55 win over Summit. Bella Shepherd of Lipscomb had 23 points, game high of 23 points in a 68-48 victory over Harpeth Hall. Aubrey Blankenship, Green Hill, had 18 points in a 44-27 Wilson Central victory. Brianna Burgess of Creekwood had 21 points in a 66-33 Portland victory. And then Sydney Ryan of Brentwood had 15 points in a 45-32 victory over Hillsboro last night. A couple of other notes, news. If you go to the Tennessean.com, go under the high school section of the sports, the TSWA, Tennessee Sports Writers Association, they have now released all of their all-state football teams for 1A through 6A and then also D2 as well. Congratulations to all those young men that have made those teams. Always a very, very cool honor for them. The state bowling championships have been decided. You can go there, check those out as well. Hardin County, and no surprise there, as always, did really well. But cool story on Lipscomb's bowling team, Jenna Hedgepath helping them win the state championship, capping off a fantastic career there for her. So congratulations to all those young people that got to participate in that. Donaldson Christian Academy, Connor Thomas adds the bowling title to their resume as well. So a lot of top performances there. You can catch up on all of that there. Again, go see the All-State, the SWA All-State teams. Those will be the last ones that I would say will come out for the year. So congratulations to all of them. All right, that's the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. We'll be right back with Coach Corey Stewart, Ezell Harding Eagle football, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Terminix wants to remind you it's cold outside. You're wanting to get inside, stay inside, be warm. Well, guess what? The critters outside are the exact same way, looking for somewhere to nestle up and stay warm. And your crawl space is a fantastic place to do it. Entry points could be at your house that you don't even know about. Happened to me. I got Terminix out there. They assessed the situation, came up with a plan, took care of it. All good now. All you got to do is call 877-TERMINIX to get that free inspection scheduled. If you can hear this show, hear this station, you're in the service area of the Cool Springs Terminix office, Robert Boyer and the crew, I know them. Attention to detail is their number one deal. Tell you every week. You can tell by the way they park their cars, the way they're going to treat your house. So get that free crawl space inspection scheduled. Talk to them about the other services that they have while you're there. Go ahead and get the termite service scheduled, mosquito, all of those. Big supporters of high school athletics in Middle Tennessee. Terminix, not in my house. We got Coach Corey Stewart, Ezell Harding, Eagle football on the line. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you joining us, man. It's cold out there, so I don't know if you got to go anywhere today, but get out there early and get that truck, that car warmed up.
I definitely have places to go with my two young ones, so I'm definitely going to bundle up, get the car warmed up before we get rolling, no doubt about that.
Hey, man, congratulations. Some exciting news came out of Ezell Harding this week. One, they've named you the new head football coach there. Congratulations on that. And also announced that you're going to be overseeing the transition back to 11-man football. They've been playing 8-man football for a few years there now. A lot of tradition at Ezell Harding in football. But first of all, congratulations on the job. And then, two, congratulations on this exciting move back to 11-man football you are going to have. Talk about the job first. What was it that intrigued you about this?
You sort of talked about it a little bit about the, you know, the tradition, the story tradition of Ezell Harding. So, you know, when I was in high school, I was in high school by the time when they won their state championship. So I saw the good teams that they had. I saw, you know, what the Eval Harding football program was all about. So when the job came about, you know, I had some people in my ear, you know, the ones who talked to me about it, and went through the interview process with them. And honestly, man, they were saying all the things that I was wanting to hear as a football coach and the direction the school and administration was wanting to go. Again, talking about the history and heritage of Ezo Harding and the football program and athletics as a whole. And it seemed like it was the perfect fit for me. And a lot of conversation with my wife and everything like that. And we just said, look, I think this is it. I think this is where we can call home. So, I mean, I think it is the best situation for me.
Well, and you know, you look back in the 80s, they go to the playoffs, you know, almost every year in the 80s. A little drought early 90s, and then that was about the time Scott Smith came in. And, man, that 2000 to what, 2002, 2003 run they had there with a 15-0 state championship in 2001, man. I mean, they were kind of it in single A there for a while. CPA had been – you mentioned that. You were in high school then. I remember it well. CPA had kind of been top dog, and EZL kind of even took that over there for a few years there.
They did.
And
they
I'm
did.
Talking, there was some exciting football played out there during those years. So you know that it can be done, correct?
Yes, definitely. Definitely know it can be done. And I think there's already a lot of support in the community, and I think there's already a lot of excitement. One, again, the transition back to 11-man, I think is got creating a lot of buzz in the community. And I think our families are eager, they're hungry to get back to it. So I think like this year is going to be a, you know, a fun field, get after a lot of hard work on, you know, my end, but it's going to be a year where I think I'm going to create an environment where families are going to be so excited to be back in 11 man and get back to playing some of these local teams that are in the, you know, single A regions.
Coach, this is the second year of the contract year. So many teams are already locked in on their schedule. I saw where you all said you're going to, you know, you're going to announce it a little bit later, but there will be some TAA teams, will be some independent teams. You know, do you even know yet? How many games do you have yet? And then kind of explain to everybody, what's an independent team?
Oh, yeah, definitely speaking of that. So when you look at our schedule, again, you said it right, you know, TAA is in a two-year cycle. This is the second year. So most schools had their 10 games scheduled out for the regular season. But what I did anyway was literally sent out a lot of emails, made a lot of calls, and just saying, hey, you know, giving guys a entry point, saying, hey, listen, we are considering 11-man. It's not finalized yet, but I feel like I'm 99.9% sure it's going to happen, trying to find out, are there any games available? So, I mean, I can't tell you what that first week on the job was like doing all that. but, you know, as far as TAA schools, you know, I got a couple of schools respond back, said they had openings, whether it was, you know, they dropped the team from last year or they just didn't have a game for that previous year because of COVID or whatever. So I had a couple of them talk to me, so I got a couple of those. Your independent teams are kind of like possibly teams that are, you know, their schools are maybe co-oping with somebody and they don't have enough or they don't want to be in TAA. Or you have some schools that kind of play a hybrid 8-man, 11-man schedule. So those are kind of like your independent schools right there. And then I actually had to go out of state to try to talk to some teams to see, like, again, can we fill a schedule? And if everything gets finalized soon, and I think it will, we'll have a full 10-game slate.
That'd be fantastic. When you're going from 8 to 11, obviously you don't have to – with 8-man, you don't have to have as large of a roster. I'm guessing a big part of – by the way, your president, I think, in the Church of Christ schools, you call him president, headmaster. I still call him Coach Judd, Lindsey Judd. Great man. I know that was a big part of you taking the job, but I'm assuming this is – a part of this is that we think this is going to drive enrollment, right? So how do you go through, obviously, the amount of team players you have on the roster for 8-man, that's not going to be enough for 11-man. doesn't happen in 1 year, but you know, you got a number that you'd like to be at going into next season?
Yeah, I got a number. Like, that's something our administration, everybody, we all talked about and kind of, you know, said, you know, well, what would be the smallest number you would take going to 11 man? And I was talking to somebody yesterday and I made the joke. I was like, if it was me, honestly, give me 11. And we'll go play 11 man ball. We'll figure it out. But you know, in a perfect world, you'd love to have at least 30, because then you feel like you can have good practice time. You can feel like you can get a lot done, make it competitive, and you can figure out exactly where kids need to be. So on Friday nights, you can put out, you know, the best 11 possible to still make you a competitive program. Can you get away with 27, 26? Without a doubt. You know, but I love 30, but we can easily make it happen if you had 25, 24 kids. I've seen other schools do it. Again, I think it all comes down to putting your kids in the best possible situation to be successful and giving them confidence to be successful. And that's my number one goal for year one is, one, create a buzz of excitement. Let the kids see how fun it is to play football. A lot of kids don't realize how fun football can be because they just see the hard work in the offseason, the hard work in the summer, and forget, like, this is still a fun game to play. And then, you know, if you create that buzz of excitement, create that fun atmosphere, one, your kids are going to start talking about it, and they're going to help you in regards to maybe creating more kids in the building to play football. You know, and then, you know, they may speak around town and say, hey, man, look, this is a great school to be at. Y'all might want to consider us. So that's the big thing there. It's just creating that buzz and excitement for the football program again. And I think 100%, I think all around the country, all around the world, if you have a football program that is exciting and is, in, you know, creating that buzz to make kids want to be there, a lot of times that's going to drive your enrollment.
Coach, I always like talking to guys when this is your first head job, right?
Yeah, this is my first head job.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I always like talking to guys when they get their first head job about people that they've been with. You played at Father Ryan. You coached at Father Ryan. I've been at Lipscomb the last few years under Coach Dilfer. So I want to start there. Obviously, the rise to success there has been pretty impressive, very impressive to watch. What's something you learned under him the past few years that you know, you're going to have to be you, right? Got to be Corey Stewart. But what are some things you learned under the way he's run his program that you know I've got to incorporate, weave this into what we're going to be about?
Big thing I saw from him, man, you know, he is very big on, you know, letting your coaches coach, you know. You get hired on a coach position to do a certain thing, and he's expecting you to do that certain thing. He wasn't a big micromanager or anything like that. He just like, listen, you perform, you do your duties, we're going to be fine. He constantly let us know, you know, how much he appreciated us and the hard work we did. And I think that goes a long way from any coach is that, you know, I think the more you tell your staff, you know, that they're doing things right, you appreciate them. Yeah, you're going to coach your staff probably just as hard as you coach your kids. But, you know, they need that gratitude just as well. And, you know, Coach Dilfer did a good job of that with the kids, with the players, the coaches, you know, in the community, show a lot of gratitude. And I think the other thing that I was heavily impressed with Coach Dilfer about, and it's something that, you know, hopefully I have same type of experiences is, you know, his real life situations, that things that happened in his life, has made him be such a great asset to our kids to, you know, incorporate certain things within our community and the way they went about it. So, you know, our after practice talks, the things we did during the summer, they were all things to really dive deep into the kids themselves and not necessarily football at all. A lot of life lessons taught. And again, with like also with his connections, he was able to bring in, you know, many people to talk, you know, about certain things. And I think it made our kids at Lipscomb grow more as young men more than anything. And I think that's hopefully something that, you know, in my own way, you know, can incorporate into my program. So again, you know, yeah, sports is an avenue to build young men. You know, for most of them, just like, you know, they don't make it to the NFL. You know, yes, they have the dreams. There's other opportunities. But when it's all said and done, as a coach, our goal is to build young men that one day they become great role models, great husbands, you know, great fathers, and so forth.
That's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, you played at Father Ryan, man. I think we've gotten in a time where buzzwords are used a little too much, and I think that the word servant isn't always used correctly. Father Ryan lost one of the all-time greats in Coach Joe Code earlier this week, and when I look at school people at a school, somebody who'd been in a school and literally would do anything for the school, I can't think of anybody that embodies that more than Joe Code and the way he was for Father Ryan High School.
100% agree, you know, and I've told people, like, there will never be another Joe Code. You know, he embodied everything Father Ryan. He loved Father Ryan, like, probably more than any other coach has ever been there. Like, that was his second home, man. Like, you would see Coach Code at Father Ryan probably almost every day, you know, from the days where he'd be lining the field, helping with the baseball field, doing the scoreboard at basketball games. He was just present. And he had that, you know, that special feel about him that you could not go up and just talk to Joe Code. You had to go up and have a full-on conversation with Joe Code. You couldn't just stop by and say hello. That wasn't who he was, and that wasn't the type of feel, the vibe you got from him as you walked by. Like, you had to go and listen to some stories about Joe Code and his experiences at Father Ryan. And, you know, and I tell you, he had a new story every day, it felt like. Because, I mean, he's seen so much at Father Ryan. And, you know, me personally, I loved hearing about him, for me, because, yeah, when you love hearing about the history and tradition of a school, like, Joe Code probably could go down also as a historian for Father Ryan.
No doubt.
He knew so much and, you know, had so many great relationships and was just so known around the community. And, I mean, and the thing that I saw Joe Code do, you know, besides the coaching thing, man, the way he just hit summer, you know, he still spent time at the school running summer camps and being around kids and playing around with kids. I mean, that's just who he was. So, you know, that's one thing I loved about him is that, you know, he was selfless. And like you said, he was a servant. He definitely cared more about others than he did himself.
No doubt about it, man. I would highly advise any head coach to get a Joe Code on their staff if they can. Hey, man, congratulations. It's exciting. I know it's going to be a lot of hard work, but you're ready for it. And like you said, it always helps when you got a good product to sell. You do. And I just think this is good for high school football in the mid-state. You all going back to 11-man football, man. So it's going to be fun. Congratulations. And we'll definitely be talking come football season.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm excited about the opportunity. You know, again, like, the coaches that I've been under as far as coaching, so with Lucier, with Coach Rector, Ryan and Trent, you know, they all embodied that one thing of saying, look, you got to embrace the hard work, you know, and that's the whole point of being the head coach. If you embrace that hard work, you're going to be fine because you're going to put more passion and effort into it. So I'm excited about that, looking forward to the hard work. You know, most importantly, man, I'm just excited to just get into work with kids, man. That's my passion of mine, is just being around these kids.
We'll talk soon, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Coach Corey Stewart, new head football coach of Ezel Harding Eagles, as long as they make their move back to 11-man football. Going to be very, very cool. Hey, you're in Nashville. You know the huddle point. South of Nashville, the Sportsman's Grill is your huddle point. Get to Moore's Lane exit in Cool Springs. Look for the log cabin with the Christmas lights. You'll know you're in the right place. $6 daily happy hour specials every day. Potato skins, queso. They've got everything there that you want. Chicken wings. And they do it the best of anybody around. Dinner menu, steak. Haven't talked about the steak in a while. Always get it the sportsman style, the filet or the ribeye. Steaks, second to none. Get you a couple of sides. I always go with the red beans and rice. Baked potato, never disappoints. Ask for my man, when Blackjack Brad, when you're in there. The Sportsman's Grill, your Hutter Point, south of Nashville. All right, we'll be right back. Coach Mark Wilkins, Independence Eagles boys basketball, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Walker Chevrolet. They don't call them Chevy Central for nothing. Been in business in Franklin since 1926, doing what they do best, selling Chevrolets, new Chevrolets, pre-owned Chevrolets. Got a great inventory of both, all the exciting Chevrolet models that you need, the cars, crossovers, SUVs, the trucks, commercial. But most importantly, they're the official sponsor of the WCS Sports Conference, the Wilcos, the Game Days. And with that, we've got Coach Mark Wilkins, Independence Eagles basketball. Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tay. Appreciate you having me on.
Yep, appreciate you being with us, brother. Big win last night, 51-49 victory over the Franklin Admirals. It was the My TV 30 game, 104.5 The Zone game. Had to have been one of the games of the night in Wilco, definitely Wilco, but the mid-state, probably the whole state. Great game, great matchup of two teams, and the game did not disappoint. 51-49 victory for the Eagles. Big win for your team.
Yeah, it really was, Tate. You know, and it was an electric atmosphere from tip. You know, felt like maybe a sub-state game, you know, just a pack from everywhere that you could put somebody. It seems like that's what it was last night. And those games are fun. You know, it's one of those games that starts and kind of trying to catch your breath a little bit, just the energy in the gym. And so a lot of fun to be a part of. And, you know, it was a very tight game throughout. It felt like a playoff game, low possessions. And I'm proud of our guys to gut it out against a very good and well-coached Franklin team. And so it was a lot of fun. It definitely was one to remember.
Yeah, those you know, these county battles, they're you know, you're going to get a well-coached team, like you just said. They're going to play hard. You know, usually a fantastic environment, which I know it was again last night. So very cool. The thing I love when I see games like that, you're the basketball expert, so I'm going to ask, but I think this is right. A sign of a good team is, you know, you've won five in a row, seven of the last eight, but you're winning different ways. You defeat Franklin 51-49, Wednesday, Ravenwood 74-72. You know, you're a team that can score a lot of points and you like to play fast and up tempo, but sometimes you got to win a game a little bit differently. And in my opinion, to beat Franklin 51-49, I think that shows a lot about your team and also the growth of your team.
Well, I think you're right, Tate. I mean, I think a coach's philosophy and style, you love to have that play out every night. And obviously, you know, we'd love to score 70, 80 points every night just because that's just the style, I guess, that we've been kind of playing all year. But at the end of the day, I've kind of thought in the back of my mind of like, okay, these games are going to slow down. Playoff games always kind of slow down. And it comes down to half-court execution a little bit more and boxing out, making free throws. And that's what you saw last night. And along with, you know, probably playing different styles, it's also, you know, you're probably going to get to it too, but just different people got to step up. If you're going to really be that postseason type of team that, you know, we're all dreaming of being, we're going to have a balanced scoring attack and probably be able to play up tempo and slow and grind it out. And, you know, and so it definitely was. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, I think that Franklin played Summit and won 41-39, and Franklin's been scoring a lot of points. And so it's just a lot of that, you know, a lot of just being flexible and seeing how the game's called and what the flow of the game is. And last night with us having a few more media timeouts, I think that was adjusted for us all. I've never coached in a game like that. And so, you know, we had a little extra time to think as coaches. And, you know, so it was definitely a different flow last night. And but it was good. It was a good one for us to be a part of and hopefully – remember it when we come to the postseason as well.
Yeah, did you you said that's the first time you've done that and you've got TV timeouts and the likes. How long did it take you to get used to that?
Oh, I couldn't keep up with it. And the fact of sometimes we call a timeout and it would be our timeout, but it would be a media timeout. And, you know, and I jokingly said to the assistants, I said, I don't have 90 seconds of stuff to tell the guys. And so let's just call it. let's just us three talk here for talk here for a second, and then we'll go in. And it seems like we were still out on the floor pretty quick. It just, you know, I feel like when you're in those timeouts, the kids may hear one and a half things. They're not hearing two or three things. And so we had to really try to package what we're going to say to something real concise and maybe make an adjustment or two. But, you know, tribute to our kids trying to get out there and execute what we were trying to get done.
I think, you know, what they've seen of you, your team since you've been here, you know, like you said, you like to play fast, up tempo. You know, we want to score some points, right? I think sometimes people mistake that as not being defensive minded, right? All you guys, mm-hmm. you all want to win. That's the objective, and you got to win playing defense. So you just do it a little bit differently. But that being said, Jack Medalli last night from Franklin, he's got 21 points in a game high. Was that kind of the game plan? You knew he was going to get his, but he's got 21 of the 49 points. How did you all go about defending Franklin last night, or trying to defend him?
Yeah, well, they're a tough matchup because they honestly are a rare team in that five guys can hit a shot from the three-point line anytime, anywhere, pretty deep sometimes, and they shoot so well. And so it was a tough matchup from that standpoint. And, you know, what it ended up kind of – the game kind of flowed into was Jack was getting the ball a lot of the free throw line, it seemed, and too much in my opinion. But and we were just trying to cover up shooters at that point, you know, and knowing that eventually he may get to the rim, we may foul him some. But we have great size, too. That's kind of one of the things that we have really good rim protectors. We believe in Matthew Wynn, Cameron Bell, and Houston Hicks. And so, you know, Matt, you know, he finished around those guys. And honestly, that's something that hadn't happened a whole lot to us this year. And so he's a great player. And, you know, I was proud of our guys to keep responding when he was hitting some tough shots. And but, you know, they had so many sharpshooters with Noah McGee and a few other ones that we just could not leave and help off when Jack did start driving to the rim. And so, you know, just one of those things. And we're going to see Franklin again and maybe again in the postseason. And so it's going to continue to be one we studied film and just see, you know, how we can not let him get nearly half their points, you know, because like you said, we love to get out and play fast, but we also know that if we're going to, I still believe in the, you know, the defense wins championships, points are fun. And I think that's something that kind of gets neglected, you know, maybe as a first year coach, you just want to come in and get your defense right. But I think we kind of took the approach of let's get the offense going, get up tempo and in time, continue to build our defense. So maybe that's an opposite way of looking at it, but you know, it's worked out so far for us this year.
Talking about your sophomore, Jet Montgomery, 17 points last night. The guy can fill it up if you haven't seen him play. But I'm guessing those were 17 hard-earned points last night.
No, they really were. Then, you know, and Ravenwood on Wednesday as well. They're just not going to let him touch it, you know, and they're going to deny him. And that's, I, you know, we kind of been thinking more and more that's going to happen. You know, that's a we understand why, because he's a great player. So. You know, we are not going to be one that's just going to say, okay, Jet, just stay in the corner and let everybody – we're going to have to continue to get him the ball. But, you know, those 17 points are, like you said, 17 hard-earned points over some people, highly contested threes, and really not a lot of bad shots. He's just trying to take the ones that he normally should take anyways. And so – but he's a great kid and a great competitor. That 17 to win is exciting for him, you know, when he's very capable of getting – and he actually did a few weeks ago, getting 40. And so – He's a special player. He's a big reason why we're going and heading in the right direction. We got to continue to get him more clean looks because he will definitely make them.
Coach, who's a young man last night that maybe the might not jump out at you off the stat sheet, but you know, 2-point win. Hey, with what this guy did last night, we don't win this game without him last night.
Yeah, there's a couple that come to mind, but the one I think that, to me at least, was Tylan Lewis, a freshman for us. I mean, he's a freshman, and he's probably the best rebounder, at least offensive rebounder, maybe on the floor. Matthew's pushing him on that too, but Matthew Witt. But, you know, it's just amazing the ability he has, the knack he has to go up and get a couple of those. You know, we built a 9-point lead in the second quarter, which felt like 30 in that type of game last night. But, you know, that was really off of Tylan, just getting a couple of those loose balls and wrestling them away. And, you know, had a friend of mine tell me, he said, that guy's a freshman? I'm like, yes. He doesn't look like he doesn't play like it. You know, he's like, he didn't get rattled at all in that atmosphere. And he really didn't. It's amazing. Just his ability. He had 3 points, but those extra points that he had, those extra possessions he gave us, were huge. And and Matthew and Cameron Bell, I think, hit the last second or the go ahead layup at one point. Jet made some free throws there late too. But it's like we kind of talked to earlier. If we're going to end up winning those tightly contested games, it's got to be a lot of different people doing a lot of things. But those few guys really stepped up and made some game winning plays for us.
18-4, more importantly, 3-0 in the district, and a win versus Franklin is always nice. But we got two district games next week, and that's really what we're talking about here. But five more district games left on the season. Again, 3-0, which is a huge way to get out to a good lead in that. What do you want to see in the next couple weeks? Where do we need to improve? Where's the growth need to be?
Yeah, so play Columbia on Tuesday, and they're a top 10 ranked team in the state, and so it's kind of been someone, even just like Ravenwood, maybe in your district, been looking at, thinking, how's this going to size up when we actually get on the floor with them? And so they're a really good team. They shoot it really well and extremely athletic, and so we're going to have to take care of the ball, and we're going to have to continue just to execute a little bit better on the half court, I think, because the game's slowing down. I don't want it to. I think even whenever we're playing, I'll go back and say we were playing Cane Ridge. It was an up-tempo game, and we love that. Cane Ridge is a great team in transition. And so we want to get back to that, playing that style. But we also know that we've got to have a little more balance on the half court, and so that's something we got to continue to get better at. And, and then the last part of that is just the same stuff, I guess, any coach would tell you. You got to make free throws and box out. And if we continue to do those, we did do that better last night. If we continue to do that, I feel really good about our chances this next coming week with two district games, but also just in the postseason.
Coach, as always, great job, man. Congratulations on the start of the year so far. I know it's been exciting. I know last night was the Indy Nation did not disappoint. But before I let you go, man, we got to talk about it. Let's talk about this new locker room.
Yeah. It's special, Tate. We're really excited and proud of it here. It's something that kind of been a long time coming, kind of dreaming about it in the fall, and to see it come to fruition here last week, actually this week as well, with everything else going on, we unveiled it to our guys. To see their faces, man, just amazing. We had a guy really help us out, a team dad help us out, who does this for a living, and he outdid what even I was dreaming of myself. And and the guys, to their credit, have been trying to brag on them a lot. They've been displaced this fall semester. Hey, dress in the football locker room, dress in the PE locker room, dress in the hallway, whatever we have to, put your bags down the hallway. The guys have just responded, never complained one time, had great attitudes. And so to see that pay off, and now them walk into a brand new locker room that, I think is one of the best in the state, it means something. It's fun. And kids love that. And so we're excited for them to enjoy that for however many years they're in our program. So it's really special. So it's a fun deal for sure.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Hey, congratulations on the win. Good luck next week. Go Titans. We'll talk soon, brother.
Yes. All right, brother. See you, man. Thank you again, Tate.
Coach Mark Wilkins, Independence Eagles basketball, 18-4, playing really, really well. Gateway Tire Athletes of the Week, Ravenwood senior Reagan Grimes and Franklin senior Noah McGee. Reagan had 29 points and 16 rebounds in a 72-61 district win over Columbia last week. She scored 10 of those 29 points in the final 4 minutes and 30 seconds of the game to seal up the win. She is a double-double machine, multi-sport. When you talk about multi-sport, athlete on the female side, that is Reagan Grimes. And McGee scored 18 points, 4 of those 3-pointers in a 69-40 victory over Nolensville last week, then tallied 19 versus Centennial in the Battle of Natchez game. A big win for the Admirals there. So congratulations to Reagan Grimes of Franklin, Ravenwood and Noah McGee of Franklin. They are your Gateway Tire Athletes of the Week. Gateway Tire, proud home of the Yokohama Tire. Anything automotive but bodywork, get in there and let Garth and the boys do their deal. Gateway Tire. We'll be right back with the villain, Tom Kreger of the Tennessean, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Tom in the Hour, we talked to our good friend, Tom Kreger of the Tennessean, always brought to you by Warner's Athletic Construction. Warner's Athletic Construction has been serving Middle Tennessee and the Southeast since 1998. Athletic field construction and renovation. They install natural surfaces. They're the best at the synthetic surfaces, the natural as well. Go out to the Bell Buckle, the web school. Go to Bell Buckle at the web school. Check out what they can do, their full track and turf that they put in, the Shaw Legion Pro Turf out there. That will give you a very, very good idea of what they can do. Go to warnersathletic.com to find out how to get in touch with them. Hey, Tom, good morning, brother. It's a big day.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Titans later on today. It's going to be awesome, but let's talk a little high school hoops. News flash. If you haven't seen Brandon Miller play, you probably need to, because we're witnessing something, I guess what you would in the media call generational.
Yeah, definitely a generational player. If you have not seen him, you better do it now, because 5'10", maybe even 1 year from now, you're going to be regretting it. So, of course, he's a 6'7" forward from Cane Ridge, signed with Alabama, number one player in the state, number 11 player in the country. And he had a night to remember earlier this week against Rockville, hit 10 three-pointers in the first half, 11 for the game, a little like 44 points overall, played a little bit in the third quarter, didn't play in the fourth. Probably a night, anyone that saw that game, I was getting updates from different people that were there, and it was like, wow, they could not. I mean, he was hitting threes from the NBA range, and this is a guy that we've seen him jump over a defender for a dunk this year. I saw him last night, had a quiet 24 and a 30-point win over Laverne. He just makes big plays every time he steps on the floor. I mean, I walk into the gym last night, Tate, and Laverne's gym is packed. And I kind of leaned forward and told someone there, it's like, if y'all were smart, y'all would charge about $5 more whenever Brandon Miller comes to your gym, because he brings a crowd.
Oh, yeah. They're going to pay it too, right?
Yeah.
How demoralizing is that? A guy that's 6'7" can jump over a 6-footer and dunk, and then he comes out and hits 10 three-pointers in the first – I mean, that's
– how do you stop it? I was getting texts from people saying, hey, these aren't just three-pointers. They're like NBA range three-pointers he was hitting.
Yep, he's fun to watch. Plays for one of the great ones out there too, and Marlon Sims as well. I don't think we can do it. Maybe, I guess. I saw CPA and Brentwood Academy last night. Great game. They were locked up at halftime. The way that Brentwood Academy plays defense, I know they obviously score a lot of points too, undefeated, but the way they defend, gosh, I would love to see a Cane Ridge Brentwood Academy game. I'm sure somebody would probably sponsor that. You think you'd be able to sell a ticket to that?
I think you could. I'll tell you one place you don't want to have it at Brentwood Academy, because you want a bigger gym than that to fill that. One thing I'll tell you, I was talking to Marlon. All right, what's the next big test for y'all? Because they went over in different states, and he said, hey, they actually play last weekend of the regular season. I think he said they played Hamilton Heights out of Chattanooga. It's one of those big time teams out of Chattanooga, the non-CSBA. But they played them it sounds like they're going to play them at Trevecca. Stay tuned for that. But if that game happens, that will be a must-see game with a lot of talent on the floor that day. And tell you what, we saw Brandon get them to the state championship game last year. This team's better than that team last year. Don't be surprised if you see them at Murphy Center this year. There's some really good teams in mid-state. I would love to see a Cane Ridge Beach game, a Beach Brentwood Academy game. There's three or four really special teams, but that Brentwood Academy team, they seem to be on a mission this year.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, man. I'm telling you, they defend now. I don't know, Coach Hoppe, obviously, he's the head coach, so. I don't know if he's got somebody coaching defense, if it's him, but they defend. Fun to watch. Hey, the playoffs, man. We've talked about this before. It's been fun to watch. I always love your Dandy Dozen that you all do every year. And it's been fun to watch how that thing, the places everybody's going and then where they go. And as football's grown in Middle Tennessee, there's so many reminders of how much better it's gotten just with star athletes. You look at the playoffs. And Middle Tennessee is very well represented this weekend.
Yeah, and I did something in the Tennessean, went online yesterday. Basically, I picked out here seven former Tennessee high school football players in the state that are still playing and could make good impacts. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than a guy who I think he was around before the Danny Dozen, or, you know, I know he didn't make it. Dawson Knox, to me, is probably one of the best stories in the NFL, and definitely in Tennessee when you look at what he's done. I mean, he was a kid that broke his ankle the first game of a senior season, walked on at Ole Miss, you know, turned out a heck of a time, you know, 4.51 40 to get kind of kick people's eyes, and now is just lighting it up at Buffalo. I mean, I think he's a great, great story for the NFL and for Nashville.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's a great story for you know, people that want to go on and play college football, man. There's more than one path to do it. Now, had he not gotten hurt his first year, he wouldn't have been a walk-on. But I mean, the first game of his senior year. But
yeah.
You know, the way he did it, I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's not just on a roster. He's one of the top, you know, two or three weapons on that offense.
Exactly. And then you think about other offensive weapons, and you know, think about, you got a Van Jefferson, a Jawan Jennings, you know, on offense, a Keyshawn Vaughn at Tampa. And, you know, of course, we cannot forget Jalen Ramsey, perhaps one of the best, probably the best NFL kid from NFL guy from the Nashville area currently playing right now, if you look at what he's done. But to think that those three or four guys I just mentioned are all from the Nashville area and all making significant impacts for their team just says something about where Middle Tennessee high school football is going.
Yeah. And Tom, I tell you another one. You mentioned him in your article. You know, the old linemen, they always get forgotten about, right? But the other story that I think – they're all great. But I think Lucas Patrick of Brentwood at Green Bay, I think his story is unbelievable too. You know, went to Duke. But I don't think, you know, I don't think when he went there anybody thought this guy was going to – I mean, he's going to end up being a 7, 8, 9-year starter and has started now at two different positions on the offensive line in the NFL. Hey, man, you can do that. And you are very, very valuable, but playing center for the Packers now, so he'll have a big impact too. He's going to touch the ball on every offensive snap.
Yep, and you know, two guys that we don't really talk about because they're not from the Nashville area. One will be in Nashville today. T. Higgins, probably one of the best athletes that I can remember seeing from Oak Ridge, still has two of the best dunks in the state tournament against Brentwood that I can remember. You know, he comes to Nashville with the Bengals, a great wide receiver. 1,000-yard receiver this year. Then, of course, the kind of the old he can become the old man. Randall Cobb is off the injury reserve there for the Packers, and he's back playing. Of course, he's from Alcoa. Those are two other guys that are going to be fun to watch this weekend.
Yep, it is. It's going to be real fun. Hey, you know, I know you would love a Titans win. Congratulations on a personal note. Is there anything you enjoy more than a Hoosiers win over the Boilermakers in basketball?
That was when you look at the streak that we've been on losing to Purdue, and when you're in a Purdue family with a brother that graduated there, a dad that's done a lot of construction work there, that was a great, great night. My wife will tell you, I was the last 30 seconds, I was standing up, you know, all right, guys, just play defense. And, you know, I kept telling myself, oh, they're going to find a way to lose this in overtime or something. And that ball just about went in. But, yeah, it was a great, great night the other night. And a great night. You know, when you've seen them lose so many times to Purdue, people wonder, like, why the blue blood rushing the floor? Well, when you've lost them, like, 9 straight times or however many times it was, you got to rush the floor because that was just an iconic win, iconic moment, great win for Coach Woodson in his first year.
No doubt. Hey, you're good at making predictions. Give me a Titans-Bengals prediction.
I predicted the Titans will win. I can't remember the score. I'm going to say something like 28-24 is what I'll say.
I hope you're right, brother. Hey, tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Craigers. It's my last name, Kreager. And, of course, all of our stuff on Tennessean.com. A lot of videos photos, stories, catch up on who had the best games last night. Joe Spears put that together for us, and great stuff online, some great stuff. Getting ready to write a story about Brandon Miller, of all people.
Hey, brother, have a great weekend. We'll talk next Saturday. Go Titans.
All right, man. See you.
Tom Crager of the Tennessean. That's it for today. Thanks to Coach Corey Stewart, Ezell Harding, Mark Wilkins, Independence Eagles. Ryan Albanese keeping us straight. Up next, Forklift Systems Football Saturday with the coach. Be safe out there.